Hello, this is Beth Ludwig from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall share with you information from the Ladies' Home Journal, March edition. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. The World's Healthiest Diet by Nancy Gotsman. The more doctors test it, the more they find that eating Mediterranean is the absolute best way to lose weight. Based on the cooking and eating styles of Italy, France, Greece, Spain, and other Mediterranean countries, the plan features olive oil, fruits and vegetables, nuts, legumes, fish, poultry, whole grains, and yes, wine. It's high in heart-healthy fats, and unlike other diets, doesn't forbid any food group. It's hard to stay on extreme diets, says Harvard nutrition expert Walter Willett, Ph.D., whose book, Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy, popularized the approach in the United States. This diet has lots of variety and wonderful flavors, so people can stick with it. Six reasons to try it. You don't just lose pounds. The Mediterranean diet also helps you feel better and live longer. Lasting weight loss. How can a diet that features nuts, oils, pasta, bread, and wine help you lose weight? Because it makes you feel full and therefore holds hunger at bay. The healthy fats and protein in the Mediterranean diet keep your glucose, that is, blood sugar, level on an even keel, which means you'll be less apt to hunt down chips, cookies, or fast food to get through the day. A study recently published in the New England Journal of Medicine found that people who followed a Mediterranean diet for 2 years lost more weight than low-fat dieters and maintained their 10-pound loss. You don't feel hungry, explains Mir Stampler, co-author of the study. Don't believe us about the protein's fill power? Dr. Stamper suggests this little experiment. One morning, eat white toast and jam for breakfast. The next day, have scrambled eggs. The egg meal, Dr. Stamper promises, will leave you more energetic and a lot less hungry at 11 a.m. A strong, healthy heart. Eating Mediterranean decreases practically every heart disease risk factor, high blood pressure, cholesterol, and triglyceride levels. When 605 patients who had a first heart attack followed the diet for 4 years, they had a 50 to 70% lower risk of having a second heart attack, angina, or stroke. There's no single aspect of the diet that keeps your heart healthy, says Dr. Stamper. It's the synergy of all the diet's elements. Antioxidants in fruits, vegetables, and beans helps prevent atherosclerosis that can make plaque buildup in the arteries. Omega-3 fatty acids in fish lower blood pressure, arrhythmia risk, and triglyceride levels. Olive oil lessens bad cholesterol, and wine and other spirits in moderation may lower heart disease risk. Diabetes prevention. In a new Annals of Internal Medicine study, 215 type 2 diabetics were asked to follow either a low-fat or a Mediterranean diet. After 4 years, only 44% of the Mediterranean group needed diabetes medication, but 70% of the low-fat eaters did. The Mediterranean dieters also lost more weight. Other research shows that this diet helps people with pre-diabetes lower their blood sugar enough to avoid developing full-blown type 2 diabetes. Better eyesight. The Mediterranean diet could help stave off or prevent macular degeneration, the leading cause of vision loss after age 54. The condition, which affects more than 10 million Americans, destroys the part of your retina responsible for the clear central vision you need to read, drive, and recognize faces. A recent study linked eating fish and vegetables to a reduced risk of getting it early. And the omega-3 fatty acids in fish can lower the risk of the disease altogether. What's more, the lutein and green leafy vegetables cuts your chance of cataracts and boosts retinal health. Reduce Alzheimer's risk. Eating Mediterranean may help cut your chance of Alzheimer's disease by 40%. And people who added regular exercise to the diet were 60% less likely to get Alzheimer's. Longer life. A recent analysis in the British Medical Journal found that the diet significantly improved health and led to a 9% reduction in death from heart disease, cancer, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's. Other studies have found that the diet's healthy fats may lessen the inflammation and pain of rheumatoid arthritis and cut the risk of getting lateral sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease by 60%. Here is a list of the things you should eat and how much to follow the Mediterranean diet. Fruits and vegetables. Get your fill of antioxidant-rich choices which promote heart health. Make a dinner of a green leafy salad tossed with red pepper, chunks of chicken breast, and sunflower seeds, or have a frozen fruit smoothie for dessert. Mix this with fresh fruits such as mangoes, strawberries, and bananas with low-fat yogurt or milk. How much of this should you eat? You should have 2 cups of fruits and 3 cups of vegetables per day. Fish. To get protein and heart-healthy omega-3 fatty acids, replace at least 2 meat meals each week with fish or other seafood. Healthiest preparation? Poaching, broiling, grilling, or sautéing in olive or canola oil. Children and pregnant or nursing women should be especially careful to eat fish that's low in mercury. To find out that list, go to epa.gov. You should eat at least 2 3-ounce servings of fish a week. Beans. All varieties are excellent source of low-fat protein. Vitamins, minerals, and fiber include kidney, black, red, fava, garbanzo, cannellini, or any other type in your soups, salads, stews, lasagna, or casseroles, or mash with herbs and spices and use it for a dip. How much beans should you eat? 1/2 to 2/3 cup cooked beans at least 3 times a week. Herbs and spices: oregano, rosemary, thyme, bay leaves, basil, anise, garlic, and pepper not only add Mediterranean flavor, they also contain healthy antioxidants. Just 1/2 teaspoon of dried oregano has as many antioxidants as 3 cups of spinach. How much? Use liberally to taste at every meal. Nuts and seeds. They're high in antioxidants and heart-healthy monounsaturated fats, which have a steadying effect on blood sugar and keep you feeling full. Since they're also high in calories, combined with other foods, for example, by serving almonds with steamed veggies and walnuts with oatmeal, you should have 1 to 1.5 ounce daily. Healthy oils. The monounsaturated fats in olive and other healthy oils like canola, sesame, walnut, peanut, and grapeseed are good for your heart. Since 1 tablespoon has 120 calories, sprinkle, don't pour, over salads, grilled veggies, and whole grain pasta or bread. You should have 3 to 5 teaspoons daily. Whole grains. They contain more vitamins, minerals, and protein than white flour products and have a stabilizing influence on blood sugar levels. Experiment with nutrient-dense, nutty-tasting exotic whole grains, such as barley, quinoa, and farro. But watch your intake. One cup of cereal equals two servings, as do two slices of pumpernickel bread. You should have 4 1/2-cup servings daily. Wine. It's a Mediterranean diet staple to have a glass, particularly red, with meals. In moderation, alcohol of any kind may help reduce heart disease risk. But if you don't drink, don't worry. Alcohol isn't the diet's main healthy factor. Moderation for women means one glass of wine or one cocktail daily. More than that raises your risk of high blood pressure, stroke, and breast cancer. So here are a few more of the diet rules for the Mediterranean diet. Know the percentages. Your diet should have about 50% carbohydrates from vegetables, fruits, legumes, and whole grains, 35% fats from healthy oils, such as nuts, seeds, and fish, and 15% protein from legumes, fish, nuts, dairy, poultry, and eggs. Count your calories. To lose weight, a 150-pound woman should eat about 1,400 calories a day. For maintenance, she should eat 1,800 calories. Limit red meats and sweets. Get no more than 8% of daily calories as saturated fat. That means just 3 to 4 ounces of beef or lamb per week. 12 to 16 ounces a month is your max. Limit rich desserts to a few times per week. Otherwise, have fresh or frozen fruit. Eat poultry, eggs, and fish, but not every day. Have chicken, turkey, or eggs every other day, and serve fish at least twice a week. Switch to non- or low-fat dairy. Get 2 to 3 8-ounce servings of milk or yogurt daily for calcium and other nutrients, but limit butter. Focus on healthy fats and carbs. The lion's share of fat comes from what's found naturally in such foods as olive oils, nuts, avocado, and fish. Base your diet on healthy whole grain carbs, pasta, bread, cereals, tortillas, and brown rice. Save white flour and white rice for special occasions. The next article is on the face of domestic violence. I sat in my mom's house not knowing what to do. My body still ached from being beaten by my husband a day earlier, but he kept pleading through the door, "I was drunk. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. I know I need help. I had a 2-week-old baby. I wanted to believe him." I opened the door. I had a crush on Dietrich White back in junior high. When I ran into him almost a decade later in 1997, I was 21 and even more attracted to his sexy smile and blue eyes. I was thrilled when he asked me out. I was living with my mom in Hot Springs, Arkansas, while I took time off from college to heal from the complications of surgery. I tried to fill my time by running a booth rental business in a crafts mall, but many of my friends were away at school and I was lonely. Dietrich and I became a couple and spent nearly every day together. He said we were soulmates, bought me flowers, and took me on a trip to Florida. 2 months later, we were engaged. We moved in together in Little Rock, about an hour away from my mom, where Dietrich owned a carpet cleaning business. I intended to return to school, but Dietrich said he earned enough to support us so I could spend time decorating our home and planning my dream wedding. First signs of trouble. Dietrich and I rarely argued, but sometimes he got jealous and claimed I looked at other men. I was flattered that he was so in love with me that he couldn't stand the idea of me being with someone else. I wish I had known then that jealousy is often a warning sign of an abusive personality. Our idyllic life didn't last long. Within a few months, Dietrich had lost many of his customers and became distant. We had our first fight when I couldn't find him at his job site one afternoon. I smelled beer on his breath when he came home. "Where have you been?" I demanded. He lied that he had been working and headed for the shower. I got so mad I threw a glass-covered candle at the bathtub. Dietrich stormed over and slapped me hard across the face. No one had ever hit me before, and I was stunned. "Did you just hit me?" I screamed. "You made me do it," I remember him shouting back. "You have no right to attack me when I've been working." Later, I apologized, and he said, "We never need to do that again." I tried to forget about the incident, but the next day my mother saw my black eye. "He was drinking, and I started it," I explained. She exploded. "I don't care what's the circumstance," she said. "No man can do that." Dietrich's irrational jealousy erupted again a month later when he accused me of sleeping with a friend of his. He canceled our wedding, which was just 2 weeks away, and asked me to move out. My parents lost thousands of dollars, but my mother was relieved. I was devastated. On what would have been our wedding date, I found out I was pregnant. After my surgery, my doctor had told me I was infertile, so we hadn't been using birth control. The timing was terrible, but I was thrilled to learn I could have kids. My mom urged me to have the baby on my own, but I didn't want to be a single mother. Besides, I believed that a child would complete our little family and make it better. When I was 8 months pregnant, we finally got married in a judge's office. Then, after our son was born, Dietrich's business tanked, and we had to move in with my mom. After she left for work one morning, he said he had overheard us talking about my high school boyfriend and accused me of planning to see him. When I denied it, he called me a liar and punched me several times in the face. I fell, and the baby started screaming. I had never seen Dietrich this enraged. "Please stop," I begged, as I tried to reach the baby. He calmed down and let me nurse the baby, but then he exploded and came at me again. At first, I had white flashes in front of my eyes and a pounding pressure in my head, but then my adrenaline kicked in and I felt dazed and couldn't tell where I had been hit. 7 long hours after he told me to wash the blood off my face, I thought the nightmare was over, but as soon as I climbed out of the bathtub, he came into the bathroom and started choking me under the water until I passed out. I was sure I was going to die. He must have pulled my head out of the water in time because I stumbled out of the bathroom and discovered that he had taken the baby. By the time I called my sister-in-law to come get me, Dietrich had returned. He had calmed down, told me the baby was with his mother, and took me to the hospital. My mom found me in the ER where they examined my black eyes and bruises. When the doctor asked what happened, I said I fell down a flight of stairs. He didn't ask any more questions, and I was relieved. When we got back home, Dietrich had brought the baby, but my mom made him leave. She called the police the next day, but they said you have to call within 4 hours of a domestic violence incident in order for them to make an arrest. The state law has now been changed to 12 hours. That evening, Dietrich came over to apologize. He said he'd been drunk the night before. He swore he'd go to Alcoholics Anonymous. He promised we'd go to couples counseling. 3 days later, I let him back in. My mom was furious. It's hard to explain how anyone could stay with someone after being hurt like that. But I had convinced myself it was because of the alcohol, and this one incident had gotten out of trouble. I knew that Dietrich loved me. I wanted to believe he was truly sorry and would never harm me again. I felt reassured when Dietrich made good on his pledge to attend AA meetings. He thought we needed a clean slate, so in the fall of 1998, we moved almost 1,000 miles away to Tampa, Florida. Those days were the best of our marriage. He found work laying down tile. I helped out while the baby slept. We took our son swimming in the ocean, and Dietrich toted him around in a baby carrier. He also fussed over me, bought me a beautiful silk bathrobe and a diamond bracelet. I thought he had changed. But 6 months later, Dietrich couldn't get any more work. That's when he started to abuse me again. During an argument, he pushed me and broke my arm. Again, I lied to the doctors at the hospital and said I had fallen down the stairs. To my surprise, I found out I was pregnant. We eventually ran out of money and moved back to Arkansas. After our second son was born in November, Diedrich attacked my mom when she tried to stop him from driving drunk with the baby in the car. In 2001, 3 years into our marriage, I finally got up the courage to leave. My parents were so relieved and rented me a house. Diedrich begged me to come back, but even though I learned I was pregnant for the third time, I stayed strong and filed for divorce. He said there was no way I could care for these kids on my own, and that scared me. So that by the time I delivered a third son, Diedrich and I were back together. I know it sounds crazy, but I really think that I was a battered woman. I didn't think I was a battered woman. Then one May night in 2002, Diedrich beat me so badly with a child's care that it broke my nose, shattered my knuckles, and fractured bones. My mom called the police. My hair was covered in blood and gashes. I needed stitches. Diedrich was arrested and charged with domestic battery in the first degree. The court added children endangerment charges since he attacked me with the kids around. While he spent some time in jail, he was released on bond. You think the severity of beatings would have been the last straw? I thought jail had scared him. During Thanksgiving at his parents' house, he acted like he missed me, and I was moved by his sincerity. And yes, we had sex. As luck would have it, since Diedrich would never let me use birth control, I got pregnant again. As the Arkansas trial drew closer, Diedrich started to unravel under the oppression. He threatened that if I didn't join him, he would kill my family. Now that I knew what he was capable of, I was terrified he would. So I told my parents I was taking the kids to see my friends, but instead I left for Ohio. They frantically called Diedrich's relatives and hired a private investigator, but they couldn't find me for more than a year. I wasn't surprised that the beatings continued in Ohio, but I was shocked one night in 2004 when someone called the police and they arrested Diedrich and me. I was charged with child endangerment for allowing the kids to witness the violence. The threat of my losing the kids was the turning point. I had no idea how much they had suffered. I was devastated when I looked through their coloring books and saw that they had scratched out all the faces. I thought I had protected them by making sure they were in another room. But who was I kidding? Of course they heard the fighting and saw the bruises. I knew I had to make it up to them and prove myself as a mom. So I completed all the court's required parenting classes and attended a domestic violence support group. Diedrich begged me to drop the charges from the beatings, which would increase his sentence, but I wouldn't do it. My mom was so proud. In the end, he was sentenced to serve 18 years in prison. After 7 years of marriage, our divorce became final. At age 30, I returned to Arkansas to start over. Now I work for Saline County Safe Haven, a local domestic violence shelter. I've testified before the state legislature to raise money, and I speak to women to help them recognize the signs of abuse. Diedrich will be eligible for parole in June, and I know he'll get out eventually. He may try to find me and get me to come back as he did before, but I'm a different person now. I won't let anyone hurt us again. Could you or someone you know be at risk for domestic violence? Hitting, yelling, violent threats, psychological degradation, and sexual coercion are obvious signs of abuse. But there are much more subtle red flags to watch out for. If he isolates you from friends or family, at first a man's possessiveness may feel flattering because he wants you all to himself, but he could be trying to control you and weaken your safety net. He puts you down. Comments like, "You're lucky to have me," "You're gaining weight," they're warning signs. He blames others for his problems. If he always blames colleagues for his work failures or his parents for his shortcomings, it won't take him long to justify mistreating you. He acts jealous. If he accuses you of flirting with waiters or his friends, it shows he's easily threatened. He controls the finances. He won't give you access to joint accounts or credit cards, or he keeps you dependent by putting you on a strict allowance or forbidding you to go back to work or school. How to get help? The National Domestic Violence Hotline. Here is their number. 800-799-7233. Or you can go to their website, ndvh.org. There are many local shelters in your area that will also help you in this. You also may call the National Network to End Domestic Violence, 202-543-5566. They offer a 24-hour national hotline and step-by-step advice if you need immediate help as well. This also includes almost all 50 states, and it gives you a list of their shelters and local programs that can help you. Here are some short stories for random acts of kindness. One day after grocery shopping, I loaded all my bags into my car as usual. When I got back to my car after returning the cart, I realized I'd left my purse in it. By the time I got back to the cart, my purse was gone. I was upset, especially since I just cashed a $500 check. I thought I'd never see that bag again. But 30 minutes later, I got a call from a woman who found it. She saw the cash in my wallet and thought it would be safer to return it personally. This story is from Amy in New York. Our next one, called The Great Outdoors. I'm a science administrator in a low-income school district and recently posted a request for funding on DonorsChoose.org, a site that lets people contribute to classrooms in need across America. I asked for gardening tools and supplies for my 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade science clubs. When I saw someone had donated, I was excited. But when I realized it was from the staff of Ladies Home Journal, a magazine that I read regularly, it really warmed my heart. Thanks so much for contributing to our projects. From Ray Lynn in Texas. The next act of kindness. The day we moved from Virginia to Rhode Island was hard. My husband, a Navy commander, was deployed, so I was all alone with our two young children and trying to finish packing and cleaning. I was exhausted by late afternoon, but still had to pick up our car, which was getting an oil change, scrub the floors before we left. I didn't know how I'd get it done. When I got back with the car, there was my neighbor Lisa, another military wife, on her hands and knees scrubbing my kitchen floor. I started crying. It was one of the nicest things ever anyone has ever done for me during my husband's 16 years of service. This story is from Ellen in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. Here's a quick health tip. If you have mysterious symptoms and you think you might have an autoimmune disease or you're just not sure what you have, you should take these steps to get an accurate diagnosis. Find a good doctor. Look for well-informed physicians who don't dismiss your complaints and who take sufficient time to hear about all your symptoms. Be prepared. Keep record of your symptoms, when they started, what makes them worse or better. Bring that info as well as the results of any test you've had and when you go see the doctor. Know your history. Has anyone in your family had symptoms similar to yours? Has anyone been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease? Don't give up. If your doctor says you are fine, but you still feel sick, find another physician for a second opinion. Find anyone who specializes in autoimmune conditions. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode from Soup to Nuts. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Beth Ludwig, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long, until next time.